The Sniffer.
Nora.
Kathy.
Nora.
Kathy.
Nora, guess what I got in the mail? It was a giant catalog. Like the old style catalogs. Like this thing is almost like the half of an old phone book.
And what's it for?
It's from a company called Uline. And what it is there's all sorts of things that it does provide, but primarily it's shipping. No, it's all things. It's long boxes, battery shippers, cube boxes, flat boxes, Instructo mailers, tall boxes, 600-pound double wall boxes, you name it, along with all the different tapes, bubble wraps, stickers, anything like to put CDs in, books, anything. I will say one thing, the stuff is not cheap. And it got me to thinking that, you know, we're talking so much about retail and what retail is going to look like in the future. The fact that people, I've been noticing now more and more, we're getting all these boxes are coming into the complex where I live, and mm-hmm. almost as many are going out. There's a guy on the main floor who ships things every single day, and a guy on the 14th floor who ships things three times a week, and they're large things.
Huh.
He gets like UPS and FedEx in, and I'm like, hey, Raphael, what you got there? And then he kind of gives me a really nervous look and starts darting around. I said, you got a big cube of hash in there, man? But I just thought it was so interesting that this is me sniffing. But, you know, when our parents were children, they used to shop from these catalogs and everything would come from mm-hmm. these catalogs. And now we're getting these catalogs again. But I think that before, when the catalogs were coming to us, we were purchasing something and then it would come. Now we are not only purchasing things, we're also a part of the retail chain. I know that eBay's been around. I know that Etsy's been around. I know that this is not a new concept. But it seems to me that I'd like to see in a year from now how many of the actual retail sales globally are being driven by individual sellers. Like, how big are we in this chain?
So, because from what I understand about Uline, it's kind of meta, right? Like, they will ship you the packaging so that you can ship.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. So, and it could be big businesses, it could be small businesses, it could be individual sellers. Yeah, I think that's so interesting. We did this story on the show, I don't know, a couple months ago, that was about e-commerce. And the starting point was an interview with a woman who's a jewelry designer in Winnipeg. And she never really had that much of an online presence. It was very much like a boutique thing. And she enjoyed the in-person experience of, you know, showing people her stuff that she designed, but obviously during the pandemic she had to shift and it's to online sales, and obviously would need packaging to send them out. It is interesting to think of, if you think about things like Etsy and all the, you know, small producers that are even as a sideline doing this kind of stuff, that's a fascinating idea as to whether that's actually going to take off, especially as our behavior has changed so much.
Well, I'm telling you,
through the pandemic
it gave me an idea, because my kid brother is coming back from the States. And as the listeners probably know by now, my brothers and I have a farm. It's got a fair-sized shed. My brother loves to go to the post office. It's his favorite place in the world, I kid you not, in P.O. boxes. He lives mm-hmm. for them. So he can be in charge of shipping and receiving. Me, I like to buy. And my sister-in-law likes to barter. So we can buy the stuff and store it in the shed. We can get all of our stuff from Uline and then ship it out. I could have movies. I'd like to do some lovely objet, but no, in the more practical way, like DVDs, books, records, CDs, you name it, you know, buy and sell bond. Mm-hmm. That's it. Yeah, that's a good title. Buy and sell bond.
You would kind of source the things, like maybe there's like a a small town video store that's closing up shop. You'd get the DVDs and then like fix them up, curate them, and resell them.
Yeah.
I could, is that the idea?
Hey,
yeah.
I could also curate my clothing and sell it. All the clothing mm-hmm. that I have, it's very much like David Rose's clothes on Schitt's Creek. It's all been carefully curated mm-hmm. over a number of decades now. Like I have Mad Max leather pants from the 80s. It would be really hard to give up a lot of this stuff. But money, Nora, money.
Yeah, no, and it'd be interesting to see if that changes. And it actually ties into my story a little bit, which is about the market for actually buying less and getting into repairing and keeping things and reselling things more. And surprisingly, it's being driven by Levi's, the jean giants. They have this thing called, it's a campaign called Buy Better, Wear Longer. And so they're actually counterintuitively encouraging people not to buy so many damn pairs of jeans. Because I guess, as you know, denim is really resource intensive to produce, especially in terms of the amount of water that it produces. So they're actually embarking on this campaign to actually get people to consider their jeans an investment that they're going to hold on to for a lot longer. And I read about this article in, I think it was in Fast Company, and they were talking about like Levi's is a publicly traded company. So how do you sell shareholders on that idea, like of encouraging people to buy fewer examples of your product? I mean, I guess you could raise the prices, but they have this interesting model of this revenue stream. They've had this for 5 years, which I didn't know about, a thing called Tailor Shop for customizing your jeans, and another thing called Levi's Secondhand, which is kind of like an online market for buying and selling secondhand denim, which is a pretty smart idea. It's not so clear to me why you need Levi's for that, why you couldn't just go to Kathy's shed and send out your customized denim that way. Because denim, interestingly, isn't, I mean, that's a kind of style that where secondhand and worn is part of the aesthetic, and customized jeans and customized jean jackets is, you know, has been popular for a long time. But I thought it was an interesting thing to think about, like from a marketing perspective. Does the value of selling yourself as a sustainable company outweigh the extra sales that you would get from encouraging people to buy yet another pair of jeans?
Well, it's interesting because I was in Levi's, the Levi's store, because that's all I wear is Levi's. And they're saying that, but you go into that store, babe, and it's all mom pants and it's all painter pants, and the store is crammed with new merch. So,
oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now they do have like a lot of really, really old jeans and things like that up on display. I was in there with my friend Mitch and I went, I have those. I have those too. I've got that shirt. Which it can come from Kathy's shack. Or Kathy's shed. I really, really liked their TaylorMade, I think it was called. Yeah, I thought they were doing really interesting things. So, you know, like they were playing around with pockets and they were letting you kind of design things the way that you wanted to design them yourself. And they'd repair your jeans for you. And they had a little video going of it. And I thought, you know what? I've got a pair of pants up at the farm that I would love to get repaired, but they're kind of, the crotch has kind of fallen out of them. And I thought I'd send them in to get fixed because I love them. These are old Roots cords, but they're perfectly good, except that, you know, I don't know if I sat on a fire or what, but talk about sitting on a fire. And I was wearing a pair of Levi's and I had a pair of Stan Smiths on, and I was at an outdoor cookout. And everybody was back then was still smoking cigarettes, and I was smoking cigarettes, and I didn't notice that when I flicked the ash, it didn't land in the fire. It went into my shoe. Talk about a hot foot around the back of the yard.
Oh, dear.
But to be pretty evident about how old I am, like, I remember there was a time when I was alive. I was young, but there was a time before shopping was our all-consuming pastime. There was a time when we did other things. you know, and it was usually, you know, like buying pins and buttons and things like that to dress up your clothes, or finding little fashion accessories or things like that. But it's fun to pick out a signature look. It's fun to really consider your fashion.
Yeah. I mean, I would like to think that this is a sort of turning point, but, you know, as a society, we're pretty addicted to fast fashion. They actually made the point in the Fast Company article that there are 100 billion with a B garments produced every year. 100 billion. So it's a, that's a big tide to turn. But if you think about, like, when you think about the stuff that you really love, like there are those pieces that you have that you really love. Like when I was in first year university, I had this pair of, do you remember the designer Willie Smith? I had this pair of Willie Smith jodhpurs. What a ridiculous getup. I must have worn these jodhpurs like, I don't know, 4 days a week until they basically wore out. I just love them so much. And there's something about those pieces of clothing that you just treasure that you don't get from this idea of like this. It is like you say, it's that idea of that shopping is a recreational activity as opposed to like what you're interested in is having a great look or this particular set of clothes or like a particular item of clothing you love. It's the activity of shopping now that is more like the thing that people like, I think.
I like to shop, I do. But I like to pick on one thing that I love and that I want and that I'm going to save for, like my rock, Totem Rock speakers. It took me about 8 years to buy these speakers. But I'd go into the store every week and look at them. And I'd say, oh, can I listen to them again? And sure. And then I took all the nieces and nephews in. And it was like, that was sort of the social activity. This is what I'm going to buy when I have the money. It's kind of like, you know, like having, saving up for a Kelly bag, you know, or saving up for really curating yourself so that you have your own really unique look. Like women back in the Depression used to do that because they had, you know, they had to really, really rotate their wardrobes. And sometimes they'd borrow from one another. Sometimes they'd use costume jewelry. But it was all in, the, you know, and it became great fun to put, you know, get a little piece of costume jewelry from, you know, dead Aunt Hattie and, you know, put it on your hat. And and that's what I think people need to do now is it's not, you can't just spend money to feel better. It's more fun to play with your clothes.
Yeah. And I think when you're younger, you're better at doing that. Like, I think young people are more into buying like vintage and swapping. And I think certainly like when I was late teens, early 20s, like going to Queen Street and going to vintage shops was like a big thing. And then customizing it and, you know, taking clothes from whatever, the 70s or the 60s and repurposing them was a big thing. And somehow I think we kind of lose that as we get older. Maybe we get a little more disposable income or whatever. But I think it's, yeah, you have a really good core look. Like you have a really clear aesthetic and it suits you and it looks great.
Thank you. So do you, darling.
You're welcome. not in pandemic days. I'm like, oh, I am wearing the same shirt that I've been wearing for the last 3 days. I better change. But one day we'll get back to that.
You know, one of the reasons that one of the big reasons that these big pants are coming back is because everybody has pandemic stomach.
I think that's right.
Like, I'm like, I've got this like this Michelin tube. And also my body has altered because I've been doing these exercises to try because the gym's been closed. I've never had a waist before. I've been doing these twists. I'm developing a waist. I'm going to be 36, 24, 36, or maybe rather than 36, 32, 36. Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks for listening, folks.
Yeah. Thank you. Stay safe.
Yeah.
Hope you're all doing well.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.